60 seconds. Come on in, guys. 10 seconds. Everybody count with me. 7, 6, 5,
4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah!
Oh, man. All right. Can I get a
whoop whoop?
Did I hear a
what what?
All right. It is good to be here at Kids Club again. Before we get started, let's go over the rules really quickly. Who can tell me one of the rules at Kids Club? Let's see here. David.
No throwing bubble gum at the girls.
Not exactly. Anybody else? Heidi? Tim?
No bad language.
That's good. That's one of them. Anybody else want to give me one of the other two? Randall?
Obey the staff.
Good, good. Does anybody know what the third one is? James?
Keep your hands to yourself.
Well, that's not exactly one of the rules. Jared?
No bad language.
No, somebody already said that. Thank you. Arlen?
When you hold up your two fingers, everybody's
quiet.
I didn't ask you, Heidi. Let Arlen talk, please. Go ahead. Sorry.
When staff holds up their fingers like this, everybody else is supposed to
be quiet.
Totally quiet.
And hold your fingers up.
Very good. All right. Well, I think we're ready to get started. Let me start with prayer, and we will invite the music team to get up. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here at Kids Club again, and I pray that you would just be with us here as we learn about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so that's usually how Kids Club starts. Tonight, I would just like to welcome you here and thank you for coming and showing your support. We will be telling you a little bit about what we do. Most of you know us as Kids Club because that's what we call ourselves, but recently we've chosen the name Rise. Rise Kids Church. So it's like Rise, like the sun rises. So we are now Rise Kids Church, and some of us will probably still call it Kids Club tonight, but we're trying to change our name to that. As we go through the night tonight, we will go through the schedule of Rise Kids Church, and it's here on the overhead, and so we'll slowly walk down through the evening, and each person will tell a little bit about that portion of the evening, and maybe a story that is connected to that part. And of course, like as you could see, we normally start main session with me counting down and then yelling a little bit because we're so happy to be together again. And we have a lot of fun to get started. And then we have obviously some other things planned throughout the rest of the evening. But first of all, before we walk through the evening, just a little bit of history. Kids Club, as it was known when it was started by 7 or 8 teenagers who knew some kids in town and knew that it was really important that they learn about Jesus. And so they were able to get into the Friendly Deaf Baptist Church and on 5th Street, and they had about as many kids as they did staff. And since then, it's grown a bit. We average about 55 kids per night, and God has provided us a wonderful building. Word of Life has donated their facility for the use of Kids Church, and so we're really happy to be there. It gives us the space for 80 to 90 people, or however many people we have that evening. Rise is committed to leading kids to spiritual maturity. We haven't always done the best job of that, and we're still experimenting and learning how to do that, but we want not just to be friends to these kids and not just to love them, although those things are very, very important. We also want to see them grow into spiritual adults who know who Jesus is and know what their spiritual gifts are. And so we are committed to leading kids to spiritual maturity. So, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be walking through the evening a little bit and having different of the staff talk about different portions of the evening. And the first thing we do when we get there is a thing called prep time, where the staff get together and just enjoy the presence of God together. And Rachel Miller will be talking about that.
Hi,
Well, I'm very excited about giving you a glimpse into what happens on Tuesday nights at Word of Life Church. And I was asked to talk about prep time. Prep time is the first thing that happens when we get there at 6 o'clock, and it lasts until about 6:30 when we head out to pick up the children. Prep time is what it sounds like. It's a time of preparation for the evening, a time of just praying together and singing and worshiping God. And it also gives us a chance to share any specific prayer requests that we might have for the evening, and also to get any announcements that we might need to know. We've also had some of the men from church come in and share a short devotional with us, and that's been a blessing as well, to have men from church come in and talk to us. For me, prep time is exactly what I need after a long day at work, as I often come to Kids Club tired and worn out. And Kids Club is not exactly a sit-back-and-relax kind of activity. It takes a lot of energy. And so just having that time to refocus and become re-energized, it really, yeah, it's a good way to start out the evening. And I think we would all agree that it's because of God that we are doing Kids Church, and it's only through Him that anything that we do will actually make a difference for eternity. And so we need His help and His blessing and His Spirit to guide us throughout the evening. And so prep time is just a time to plead and ask God to be with us and guide us. I think prep time really sets the tone for the evening. I think it's a great way to start out. And yeah, once prep time is over, it's time to head out and pick up the kids and let the fun begin.
Okay, well, I am the routes coordinator for Kids Club, and basically my job consists of getting all the routes together and making sure that all the kids that come to Kids Church have a route that they go on. So whenever we have a new kid come to Kids Church, whoever picks them up, whichever driver picks them up, gets them to fill out an information form, and then it's their responsibility to give me that information so I can put the kids on a route. And then the next step is I get their information and figure out which route is closest to that kid's house. And then I see if that route has room for that kid or not. And once I find out if they do have room, then it's just a simple process of adding the information to that route and getting the new route to that to the driver. Sometimes the routes are all full, and so in that case, I need to make a new route. And so it's basically just the same process of adding or making a new route, but then I also have to find a driver for that route. Yeah, that's pretty much all that I do. One other thing that I do is whenever a route gets too big for a vehicle, then we need to split that route and make two routes out of it. And incidentally, Rachel Yoder, she brought 13 kids to Kids Club last night. And so we obviously have to split that route in two. So this week I'm going to try to get a new route up for that and make sure that she doesn't have to drive 13 kids next week again. So that's pretty much all that I do for Kids Club.
I was asked to talk about being a route leader, is what we call the drivers. And something that stands out to me about being a route leader is, as Benji said, we have 55, 60 kids running around every Tuesday night. And that, I know a fraction of the names. I feel like I know just the few people. And what the route leaders, the having routes does, is that I know 10 little girls very, very well because I picked them up. I've taken them to church and home from church for the last 4 months. And that the cool thing about that is just it's a natural way of having a relationship and a closer relationship. And the great thing is that every child that comes has someone that's there for them in that way. There's a natural... there's a natural connection from that. And I just wanted to share two stories from my route, or kind of snapshots or something. Probably the highlight of my week is pulling up to this rundown two-story house on Sherman Street and walking up the sidewalk, at least during the wintertime, I actually get all the way to the door, and knocking on a door that the bottom half of the screen door is gone, and knocking on the door, and I hear this little three-year-old pitter-pattering up to the door, and the door flies open, and I look down, and there's this little little tiny girl, shining brown eyes and black hair, and she's just jumping on me. She's so excited to go to church, and her five-year-old sister is right behind her, and a little bit more reserved, but they're both just terribly excited to be going to church. And the cool thing about that home is that the mom and dad are together, and they very obviously love their children. They have four children that I know of, and it's a very stable, kind home, and they're very happy to let us take their children to church. And so, and it really shows in how sweet and secure their little girls are. They're different than a lot of the children that come, and it's kind of exciting that there are good homes that are represented at Kids Club as well. The other home that I especially look forward to picking up children from is Delicia's house. Those of you from Center have probably seen her daughters here. And she's a very friendly, outgoing woman. One of the neighbors told me that Delicia knows everybody on the street. They don't necessarily know each other, but everybody knows Delicia. And she will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And especially since her daughters come to church, I've gotten to know her better because I'm not as pushed for time on Sunday afternoons when I'm taking them home. And sometimes we'll talk for about an hour when I get back with them. And recently when I was there, I had taken several other girls over to her house, and so the noise level was getting higher and higher, as you can imagine, with 6 to 9 year olds, and we were trying to talk, and so I just kind of reached over and scooped up one of them and kind of gave her a hug to try to calm her down and be a little quieter, and she just Delicia interrupted herself. She's like, "How do you guys stay so patient?" And just wanting to know how she could change from being she's like, "I'm going to scream at them the moment you walk out of the door. I know I will, because my mom's that way too." And she's like, "How do you change? How do you change? How do you stay so patient? How do you do that?" Anyway, and I didn't feel like I could think on my feet very quickly to give answers. But just talking a little bit about how the rest inside can come out. With Jesus changing your heart, it can also change how you parent. And Heidi and I are hoping to get together with her and watch some DVDs on attachment problems and stuff with her. And it's just great to have a natural connection to build relationships with the parents as well.
Okay, I'm supposed to tell you guys a little bit about an interaction with one of the parents that I've had. I'm going to try not to say her name just for privacy reasons, but if I do, please forget it. So, last summer, Patricia and I were dropping off some girls, and it was a nice summer evening, so across the street we saw a lady and her two children sitting there and enjoying the nice evening. So we're like, "Hey, why don't we go over there and see if her kids want to come to Kids Club?" And so we walked up to her house, and she looked at us pretty skeptically. But we started telling her about Kids Club, and she asked us what our goals and stuff were at Kids Club. So we were telling her how we want to teach the kids about Jesus and teach them about his love for them. And so pretty soon she told us that she was actually a Christian too. And so we talked for quite a while, and she started sharing some of her struggles that she had been having just with the negative influences on her kids in the world. And we ended up talking for an hour or more, and at the end we prayed with her, and she started crying, and she told us that just that morning she had pretty much been at rock bottom, and she had just cried out to God that he would send someone or an organization or a church or anything to come into her life to help them. And so we definitely felt like it was a miracle from God that he sent us over there. And anyway, so her kids were coming to Kids Club for a few weeks, and she mentioned to me that they were having quite a lot of problems with the neighbor girls. She's a single mom with two children, and then across the street from them is another single mom, and she has two daughters. And so basically the two moms hadn't gotten along for a while, and they had some grudges, and so I'm sure their kids felt that too. And so their kids didn't get along very well. And so Louise was talking about the routes earlier. We just switched them to different routes, and that did solve the problem for right then. And a few weeks after that, one night I got to Leslie's house, and I could hear her screaming when I walked up to the door. And when I got inside, both of her kids were laying on the ground or on couches crying, and she was crying too. And basically, she was ready to give up on parenting. And she was super frustrated with how her kids were responding to her. And she does have some anger issues, so I think she kind of lashed out at them too quickly. And anyway, I felt really inadequate to know what to tell her, but I read some scripture to her, and I prayed for her. And she really appreciated that. And so, and then fast forward a few months, 2 months before Christmas, I called her, she was in the hospital for like some minor surgery, and I called her to see if her kids could come that night, and she was like, yeah, they can come. But then she also mentioned that the neighbor girls had been causing them a lot more stress, just like on the bus, at school, at recess, and she said that as soon as she got out of the hospital, she was going to try to get them kicked out of the neighborhood as soon as possible. And so that night at hash time, we prayed for her, and I kind of remember thinking, I didn't know how God was going to work it out. I was pretty sure that those two families weren't going to be, like, they weren't going to be able to live in the same neighborhood, and I didn't even know if in the same town or state, like, it was that bad. Anyway, and then, so we prayed for them, and then after Kids Club that night, I checked my phone, and I had a voice message from her, and she was super upset. Her kids told her that there had been some kids at Kids Club that had like called them bad names and hurt them and pushed them around, and just like in general, her kids told her that they had been treated very badly. And like honestly, I don't think any of us staff had seen anything like that happen, but she trusted her kids over us, so she was very angry at us. And so I called her back the next day, and I didn't think that the phone call could have gone any worse. She was still very angry, and she was disappointed at staff, and she was just disappointed that we hadn't put a stop to it and that we hadn't seen it. And we pretty, she told me that she still believed God sent us the day we came to her house, but she would never be sending her kids to Kids Club again. And that's how we ended the phone call. And I didn't really know what to do. I thought maybe in a few months we can call her back and see what's up. But then Benji volunteered to call her, and their phone call went much, much better. And I guess he got her to see our side of the story a little bit better, and he listened to her concerns and complaints. So, yeah, it definitely went a lot better. And then he also asked her, before any of this had happened, we were planning to take some frozen meals to her so that when she came out of surgery, she could have stuff to just, like, stick in the oven. And so some of the staff and staff moms had made some frozen meals. So he asked her if we could bring that over. And she said that, sure, we could. And so we took over the food. And I was a little apprehensive about what was going to happen when we got there, because last time I had talked to her, we had kind of ended on a pretty bad note. And so, but when we got to the house, she, like, immediately came over and gave me a big hug, and she, like, apologized right away. And she apologized a few more times during the time we were there. And anyway, and then when we were there, she told us that her kids are allowed to come back to Kids Club. And she admitted that she had been wrong and that she had reacted too rashly. And so that night, her kids, it was actually the Christmas party that night. So that night, her kids got to come to the Christmas party, and we had invited the parents too, so she actually ended up coming too, which was a major miracle from God. And then also, as if that wasn't enough, the week after, the first time we had Kids Club again in January, when I called her to see if her kids could come, she told me that they could, and that she also told me that during her recovery time from the hospital, she had had a lot of time to just lay there and think about life, and she said that God had really prompted her to be nicer to the neighbor kids, and instead of pushing them away, to be a positive influence on them. So her and the other mom had actually talked, and they had figured out that they both need to work toward a common goal so that their kids and their families can get along. And so we were amazed, because at Kids Club, their kids like sat together, played together, and were friends again. So that was pretty amazing to watch. And definitely throughout all this, God orchestrated all the phone calls and, I mean, all the interactions and all the conversations that that we had. And it's really exciting to me to see her story, because I know God isn't finished with it yet, and I know that he has lots more in store for her. I don't know if it's going to be through us, through Kids Club, maybe through you, or through other Christians she meets. But meanwhile, I would just like to ask you guys to pray for her. She is a single mom, and she does have a really good heart, and she desires God, and she also desires for her children to know God. So thank you.
Okay, moving kind of back into the evening schedule. After Benji's opening comments and prayer, we generally have a short time of singing. I'm one of the guys that's in charge of that. Generally, it's about three or four of us up there that normally lead out with the singing and do motions and stuff for the kids. One of the highlights for me is just as the kids get to know the songs, to watch them get excited about them and to see how animated they get when they sing them. I think it's generally one of the highlights of the evening for a lot of the kids, or at least some of the younger ones. And it's generally just a nice way to start out the evening praising God together. We often have about three or four songs. Generally, us as a music team will kind of have a few determined before we start, and then we'll often give the kids a chance to pick one or two songs, maybe give the staff a chance. So usually they pick about one of three different songs. There's sort of a few favorites. Generally, if it involves repetition or like a really easy melody line or yelling at some point or really aggressive motions, then they kind of gravitate toward those songs. So, yeah, I really enjoy helping out with music. It's definitely a fun part of the evening for me. But I don't have a lot more to say, but the staff are going to come up and we're going to sing a couple of our songs that we like singing at Kids Club for you, so you can maybe get a bit of an idea of what that's like. So, come on up.
Down in my heart to stay. Okay, the next part of the evening, after we get done singing, we move into sort of what would be the equivalent of a sermon in our church services. So about a 10 to 20 minute block, depends from time to time, where we have a presentation for the kids, and this is, you know, from the ages 4 to 15, pretty much the whole spectrum of ages. So we try to have something that will be able to captivate the younger children's attention and still challenge the older kids. And so there's sort of three main elements that I like to have in the main presentation, and not all presentations contain all three, but there's often a lot of overlap, sometimes all three. But the first is just getting them familiar with Bible stories. I like them to learn the stories of the Bible from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And part of what we're doing right now is just going through the Bible from the creation and to the end of the Bible, and just going through and getting them familiar with the stories in the Bible. And right now we're talking about Abraham and Isaac. Just talked about, last week we talked about the story about about Jacob and Esau. And the second element I like to have in the presentations is teaching them good morals or good lessons. And so with the story of Jacob and Esau, we incorporate into that the lesson that you reap what you sow. And so we try to really get that into their mind, that you reap what you sow, and that the way you live is really going to affect you. And we want them to take that into every aspect of their lives. And then at the end of the story, we incorporated the theme of forgiveness, which is a really huge theme, and it comes up quite often throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that is one of the biggest themes that we really want them to latch onto. The third thing I want to do in the main sessions is to help them learn their identity in Christ or in God, and so teach them about salvation, teach them who they are in Christ, and teach them who God is. Help them to see Him as a loving Father, as someone who created them and has a plan for each one of their lives specifically, and help them to find who they are in Christ. So that's sort of the three things that I like to bring out in main sessions. Main sessions vary from an old guy like me just yakking at them for a while, or sometimes we have skits, get a handful of kids to do a Bible story or other skits. Sometimes we just read a story with overheads, with, you know, pictures on an overhead. Sometimes we have guest speakers come in and do presentations. And so next week, actually, we'll have a presentation on gospel magic. So we'll see how that goes. I think it should be good. Anyway, so that's the next part of the program, and I will turn the time over to Martin.
Well, my part of main session is Bible memory. We didn't start until about last fall, I think, and yeah, I really like Bible memory because it gets a chance to teach them. Well, it gives them a chance to learn Bible verses and stuff. We're up there, us three, and we do motions with the verses. And that's kind of how it goes. There's not a whole lot of complications to it, unless I mess up, which is pretty often. And I don't usually have a handheld mic. I have a lapel mic. But what I really like personally about Bible memory is that it also gives me a chance to memorize. Throughout the week, I'm reviewing the verses, the motions. Every day, I have to keep going through them, or else I'll lose it. It's really helped me, and I think we're going to be up there so y'all can see. So. Last year, the passage that we were learning was the Romans Road. It was Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:13, Romans 10:9-10. And it took us a little while to get through that. But yeah, the kids did really well. This year, we're going through Psalm 23. And Lord is my shepherd, all that kind of good stuff. But what we're going to do is what we did last year. So, yeah, let's have everybody stand up just to give you a picture of how it is.
We did this in the New King James, so it might be very slightly unfamiliar, but feel free to follow along with us and follow the hand motions.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13.
I messed up there, so that's pretty normal. That if you confess with your mouth
the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10.
After Bible memory, we usually split up, we always split up into three different groups, and we help with Kids Club Junior, and there's a few things we do with little kids. That's basically 3 to 7-year-olds, I think, and yeah, you just start with trying to calm them down for a little while, get them settled in, and yeah, usually lots of opportunities to test your patience, but we try to teach them to get along and obey the staff and such. Anyways, we start with like a Bible story, usually sometimes a skit, and just kind of try to build a foundation of Bible stories and such for them and kind of teach them some of the attributes of God. And after that, we usually color, I'll get like the same picture that's something related to the story, and I'll color that. And some of them are a little more thrilled about coloring than others. Some of the kids seem to think it's fun to color the entire picture with one color in about 2 seconds, but we're working on that. And after they're mostly done coloring, we usually play some kind of a group game, or then just go out in the playground and just hang out there for a while until it's time for snack. And
So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about one of the little girls who comes to Kids Club Junior. This little girl is about 4 years old, and when she came, she's really, really sweet and a darling little girl, and one of the things that she loves to do is come up, run up to you and give you a giant big hug and a big kiss and look into your eyes with her big brown ones and just say, "I love you." Anyway, it melts your heart, really. But she has a bit of a problem controlling herself and staying focused. She's always, talking to other people during main lesson or, disturbing the other kids, poking them or whatever. And it was, Carrie did a lot of work with her. And it was really hard to know, how much we should, discipline them or whatever, because she's, she is only, 4 years old. But we gave her, strikes and stuff, but it didn't really seem to help. So finally one time we gave her 2 strikes, which means that you don't get any snack. And so I took her into the nursery during snack time, and I sat down there with her, and mostly she sat in the corner and cried. most of them were crocodile tears, but she was fairly disappointed about missing snack. And I talked to her, and I tried to explain, why she had to be punished and why, how she could do better in the future. And I pointed out, that I couldn't have snack either because she disobeyed, to kind of try to teach her that, our actions affect other people too, not just ourselves. And the next
couple times she was a lot better. You know, she obeyed us better, and yeah, she started being quiet and listening better and stuff. But then a couple times later, she just went back to how she'd been before, and she just would not listen. So Carrie, bless her heart, went ahead and gave her 3 strikes and had to take her home, because 3 strikes, you're out and you go home. And she didn't come back for several times after that, but she did come to the Christmas party then, and she was with her mom, and I'm not exactly sure how she did then. I didn't interact terribly much with her. But then just last time, she came back again, and she was so good. Like, I mean, she wasn't perfect. but she was really good, you know, compared to how she normally was. And so it's just wonderful to see how God has been working and how he's answered our prayers for her. And sure, there's a long ways to go yet, but, I just praise God for the way that he's been working in her life and how he's been helping us to know, you know, how to help her. Thank you for your continued prayers, because they do work.
So yeah, helping with Kids Club Junior is a lot of work, and I enjoy it, but I'm ready for a break to come, because being in a little room with the little kids for even 15 minutes that are just rowdy can really test your patience. But it's been fun. I wasn't quite sure when I started helping with Kids Club. I wasn't quite sure I wanted to help with the smaller children. But then I started going with Seth and picking up some younger boys. And so I started, way in the beginning, we used to not have Kids Club. So I used to go on one-on-one with one of the youngest. And that's kind of how I got started with it. And one time we were outside just talking, and I was getting the concept in him of how God is everywhere and stuff. And for the rest of that evening, whenever he'd see something, he'd always say that, you know, God isn't that. And that kind of melted my heart, because it just seemed like this little kid is slowly getting it. And I don't know how he is doing now in that, but I don't know. It just really made me want to hang out with more of the little kids and teach them valuable things so that they have something to grow on. And so even though it's a lot of work, it's still a blessing.
Okay, I'm supposed to tell you about SEG time. SEG time stands for segregated time, something like that. And we started it in the beginning because we had a vision to teach the boys and the girls, you know, in separate settings, teach them about being a man and being a woman, you know, and what that means in our culture. And when we get done with Bible memory, it's not even 1 second after they say you're dismissed for seg time, there is a mad dash. I don't know why, maybe to get a good seat on the couches or something. But we get back to the girls go behind the stage. If you know where Word of Life is or how it's set up, they go behind the stage. There's a big room back there, and the guys go back to the lounge back in the back. And we get there, and the first thing we always have to do is split up into one-on-one time, because that's right after seg time. Or we meet for a little bit and then head out to one-on-one time. And I don't know why they make a mad dash for the couches, because we always rearrange seating, because we want them to sit with their partners so that we have staff interspersed well. But we go into seg time and some sort of teaching. And me and Tim currently are kind of in charge of coming up with things to talk about. And, that's basically what happens. We sit down and just discuss all kinds of things that we think they might want to know. It's fun to watch them struggle with issues like forgiveness. Last night we talked about forgiveness, and there was just a fountain of questions. I mean, these kids, they were like, okay, so, you know, what if somebody kills your whole family? You know, you're still not supposed to take revenge? And, well, we have to tell, you know, we kind of tell them the story about how Jesus says, you know, I can't forgive you if you don't forgive other people. And it's just hard for, you know, somebody that's 9 or 10 to wrap their mind around that. And, you know, then all of a sudden they're like, well, if I can't forgive everybody, then I'm going to hell, right? You know? And then, you know, you just have to deal with all those little questions because they don't know how to deal with some of that stuff. I did want to tell about some specific things. One time, I think we were talking about fatherhood or something, and we had the ones who don't have their dad living with them, we had them raise their hands. And I think about 80% of the kids, the guys, raised their hands and said that their dad wasn't living with them. And then we asked them how that made them feel, and we heard things like disappointed, rejected, not worth anything. And you see what these kids are given in life, you know, and it breaks your heart. And this is why we do this, because these kids, it's a social injustice that we want to do what we can to give these kids a chance. And really, the truth is, you know, we see their parents as the bad people, right? Well, the truth is, you know, if we would have met their parents when they were the age of the kids now, we would have probably seen the same thing. And so it's really just a cycle of victims. And that's really what we're about, is we want to break this cycle of victims. Yeah, just some more things that have come up. We talked about authority, and that's a new concept to some of them. Who all's authority, and, you know, respecting even policemen, you know, because they don't hear good things about policemen. And we talk about salvation some. That's kind of a hard thing to figure out. And one time we talked about video games for a long time. And one of the next weeks, one of the boys was saying, well, I don't play video games anymore because they're violent. And that was kind of cool that there was a take-home there. And I will just say that in seg time is when we have a lot of weird stuff come out. I mean, we hear questions about clouds, you know, if there's dark clouds and light clouds together, what does that mean? And we hear all the little superstitions that these kids have picked up over the years, and sometimes it gets kind of out of hand. You know, we're getting questions faster than we can answer them, and we just have to shut things down. And then we go into one-on-one time, and then usually during that time, we try to get a chance to pray with them, you know, at least for a little bit, and just talk about life. But that's all I've prepared to tell you, and thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
All right, I'm going to tell you about the girls' seg time. So naturally, while the guys are having theirs, we're having ours behind the stage, and since we're girls, we sit on a circle, and we sit on the floor in a circle and turn off the lights, and we have candles and everything. And basically, the point of girls' seg time is to teach them, like, who they are to God and who God is to them and how they should live because of that. So we usually have like some sort of a lesson or a story, or sometimes we just talk more about the main lesson, and then they also have a lot of questions, and then we pray together and then split up for one-on-one time. And I just want to tell you guys a story of God's faithfulness that was really exciting to me. And it's about one of the older girls that comes to Kids Club, and there were a couple Tuesdays where we were teaching the girls about God as their father, and because most of these girls don't have their fathers living with them, it's a big idea for them, and how God loves them, cares for them, and he really does want to be their father. So during this time, the girl that I'm going to be talking about, she's 14, and she wasn't living with her dad, but her mom's fiance was there, and he was the most, like, father-like figure that she ever had in her life. And he actually cared about the kids and spent time with them, so they were pretty close. And during this time, it was actually getting close to their wedding, and he kind of freaked out and just left without an explanation. So it was really tough for this girl and for her mom, of course, and their family, and during this time, she was learning about God as her father. And so I was telling her that at night when she's crying and laying in bed and missing her dad, that she should ask Jesus to come and be a father for her, because He really does, like, want to comfort you and take care of you. And sometimes it's almost like you can feel him hugging you, or your heart feels better, or he paints pictures in your mind or puts thoughts in your head and just helps you to feel better, like just like a dad would do. And I didn't know, like, how this would work because of all the girls. She's a really strong girl, and she doesn't often like to talk about spiritual things. But I told her to try that when she's having tough times at night. And then the next day I picked her up and I asked her how her night was. And she said it was really rough. And then I asked her, I was like, did you ask Jesus to be like a dad for you? And she said, yeah, I actually did. And she's like, it was really weird because I was feeling terrible. Then I started talking to Jesus and I really felt better. And like, my heart just felt happy again, and I had peace, and I was able to go to sleep, and I had a really good night. And I was just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I was so happy that she could see it, like, really worked out, because, for me, my faith is a little stronger than the kids' faith. And so if God doesn't answer right away, like, I can kind of take it, or I understand that he might have a different plan. But for them, like, this is their first experience with faith. And so if they ask for something and God doesn't answer, they just assume he's not there. So I was like really begging God to show himself to these kids. And she went on to say that they're really struggling because half of the salary is gone from the household now because the dad left. And the mom doesn't have enough money to buy groceries and stuff. And it's a big problem for them. And like, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me to say this, and I didn't want to because I didn't know if God, like, would actually do this for her. But I told her how God is like a complete father. He'll care for your heart, but he'll also care for you physically, and he can provide financially for you guys if you ask him for it. And so after I said that, I was just like, God, please do something, you know, because I didn't want her to say that was wrong, because I know it's true, and I know God's capable, but it's just such an important time for her, like, building her faith that she sees God. And so she's like, all right. And I picked her up the next day, and she hopped in the car, and she's like, guess what, Heidi? She's like, I played bingo the other night, and I won $785. I was like, whoa, God, that's amazing. And I was like, that's just like God taking care of you, just like, you know, a father. And I was so excited that God did that. She's like, yeah, I know. She's like, I told my mom that. Like, she's like, I kept like $20 for myself and I gave the rest to my mom. So now we have groceries and everything. And I was like, that's so exciting. That's God like your dad. And she's like, I know. And my mom said it was a sign. So it ended up later on, like, the fiance did come back and he's living with them now. But it was just, like, super exciting, and I just want to give God glory because he is so faithful and so generous with the kids. So if you guys could keep praying that God would, like, reveal himself to the kids and make personal interactions like that, because that's what it's all about.
We then end this time slot with one-on-one time, and this is, actually, at this point, it's often more like one on two or three time, just because we don't have enough staff for all the kids. It's helped now that we've split up and we have Kids Club Junior separate, both with numbers and for more meaningful one-on-one time. This is just a time to connect with the kids and hear them out, answer their questions, help them to feel loved, and just build a connection with them. It can get kind of crazy sometimes if you go outside with one of the little boys and they're just running around and want to go climb a tree, and the next second they want to go play on the merry-go-round, or, oh, there's Dion. Hey, look, hi, Dion. Let's go. Can we go with them? And so it can be kind of crazy, but it can also be a very special time. Sometimes the Lord just opens their hearts and they just talk and you can hear what they care about. And some of us have even had the privilege of praying with kids when they make a commitment to Christ. It's just, it's an unmatchable experience. Anyway, so One of the special things for me in one-on-one time is helping the kids gain a connection to God. Most of the kids come in and they don't know how to pray, or they don't understand prayer. Those who have been taken to church by grandparents or siblings don't see prayer as a personal thing. It's a thing that you do in church, and that's about it. So it's been really cool to teach the kids to pray in a personal way and just to talk to God. One of the boys, Tony, I love listening to him pray, because it's just like he's having a conversation. He does say amen now at the end of his prayers. When he first came to Kids Club, he'd just say, bye. And that was really cool for me, because it was just like he was talking to a friend. One of the other little boys, he's 8, and he's only been there for a couple weeks. First week, he did not want to pray. It just totally weirded him out. And so it was fine. We're not going to make anybody pray. This week, he decided he could probably pray, but he said, I'll probably just say, Dear God, amen. And he did. But it was progress. And for me, he's learning to see God as somebody who's reachable. And that's exciting for me. If we can build their understanding of God and help them gain a connection with God, then that's success.
Well, I'm supposed to talk about girls one-on-one time, and I feel like James and Tim kind of did a good job of reporting already what it's about. Like Tim said, oftentimes it's one staff to 3 or 4 girls, which proves to be, it brings several challenges. So when we're trying to split them up, we try as much as we can to have the kids go with the same staff, because we want to have them have a relationship and in that way build trust, and it makes it a safer place to talk. And so, of course, if we are holding a boundary of that you need to go with the same staff person, then they think it's great to try to push it, and they will. And anyway, when I first started, there was one little girl that was supposed to go with me, and she really didn't like it. And she would think of every reason she could to not go with me. And one time she came up with, she doesn't want to go with me because I have scary green eyes. And it was news to me because I thought I had brown eyes. But anyway, but it wasn't very enjoyable for me either that she didn't like going. But we did eventually get our differences worked out. And now she thinks she can't go with anybody else and feels lost if I'm not there. And actually, I feel the same way. If she's not there, I'm not quite sure who to hang on to. And anyway, so that's been a blessing. Another challenge when you have 3 girls that you're supposed to be having a meaningful conversation with, especially if one of them is very energetic and talkative and another one is quiet and maybe another one's in the middle. And it's hard to know how to channel the energetic one into something good without shutting her down, and then how to draw out the quiet one. So that's one of the challenges of a group like that. But there's one time that I'm thinking of that was incredible. And I had 3 girls that night, and I don't think any of them were 8 yet. I think they would have all been anywhere from 5 to 7. And I don't even remember why we got started talking about their dads. But 2 of the girls would have been from one-parent homes, and they would go back and forth. So one week they'd be with their dad, and the next week with their mom. And especially 2 of the girls were talking about how their dads have addictions, or that they're trying not to have addictions to alcohol and to smoking. And they're talking about how they try to help their dads not drink too much or not smoke too much. And the one little girl's like, yeah, well, after my dad's drunk so much, then I take it away from him and dump it down the drain. And the other girl's like, yeah, sometimes I just go to the fridge and just open the cans and dump them out in the drain. And, of course, I didn't know what to say. This just totally was blowing my mind that these little girls were feeling responsible that their dads not be addicted. And I don't remember exactly what I said. I know I did pray for them, but that's the kind of thing that we're trying to do with this one-on-one time, is to make it a safe place to talk. These girls were feeling responsibility that they should never be feeling, and they're old beyond their years. But I'm grateful for those times to be able to pray and to show a little bit of the love of God and to say, you know, God does care about this. This is not something you have to carry yourself.
All right. I take care of games, and which is a really big deal for the older kids, especially the guys, the girls. It's a little more of a challenge to get them enthused about games. But we try to do outdoor stuff if we can. The wintertime, knockout's a really big thing. That's the all-around favorite sport. And we try to vary it up some, play some dodgeball, some stuff like that. And, well, we're limited because we can only play under the lights in the wintertime. But in the summertime, we can do a lot of running games like British Bulldog, similar to Fish Swim, Swim Fish Swim, and Prisoner Space. And there's a few other things we've tried. But a couple things about games is it brings out attitudes you don't see otherwise in the kids that you have to work with and deal with. And it just builds a connection with the kids in other ways. So.
Well, the last activity of the evening before we take the children home is snack time. And my job is to be the snack coordinator. And basically that means I'm in charge of getting someone to bring snack for the evening. And then before snack time, I get everything ready and set up. And usually my job is very easy because everyone is so willing to take their turn and bring snack. And then I always have lots of help to set everything up. And if it's not staff, the little children like to help. And yeah, usually the staff are the ones that bring the snack, but we have had one of the kids' church girls did bring snack one time. It was kind of a thank you for what how kids' church was able to help their family, and also partly because of her birthday. And that was really special to see her. She really enjoyed all the attention she got out of that, and all the praise for bringing snack. And also, Shay has brought a little bit of snack several times. Not enough for everybody, but we've served it with the rest of the snack, and it's just so sweet to see how she just loves all the attention she gets. And it's really special that she wants to do that. Usually at snack time, we first make sure they know who brought the snack and make sure to thank them with clapping. And then we sing for anyone who had a birthday that week. Sometimes, if I remember, they get to wear a birthday hat. And sometimes they have a candle and a cookie or something. I don't always remember that. But they really enjoy that somebody actually remembers their birthday and sings for them. And after that, everybody's supposed to be quiet, and we have prayer time. And it's really cool when everybody is actually quiet. And then we serve the snack. Usually, I let the children help serve. It's one of my favorite times to see them be able to help serve. It makes it a lot more chaotic, but it's really special to see them, and they really seem to enjoy it. Last night, we had two very ambitious little boys trying to auction off bananas. And I think some of them even got tossed, but I mean, tossed to different people, which was kind of crazy, but it was fun to see them. Yeah, and I just love seeing them be able to serve and do things for others, and I think it teaches them valuable lessons. And yeah, I just love being able to be part of Kids Club in this small way, and yeah, it's really a blessing.
Okay. I get to talk about hash time. I really like this time. It's one of my favorites, I guess. After going through the whole evening with all these rowdy kids, you kind of, I don't know, sometimes you face situations that you don't know what you should have done, and it's really good to just be able to talk about it. But, so after we take all the kids home, we sit around, we go to the lounge and sit around in a big circle, and Benji will ask something like, how did it go? And the evening can go really different for everyone, depending on who your kid is. Sometimes you might have had a really good talk on with your one-on-one partner, and you might have been just trying to keep your little friends out of trouble, because they can get in any manner of trouble. Like, I didn't get near that much trouble when I was little, but anyway, and you try to start a spiritual conversation with them sometimes, and it seems like it doesn't work. So sometimes it goes well, but yeah, it's really a blessing when it does, and you just really see God's hand sometimes. So after everything settled down, we're back there talking. It really helps to step back and take a look at the big picture. Sometimes we have really cool stories to tell, like the ones that Emily and Angela talked about. We've also been able to help some of the girls who used to be friends but decided not to speak to each other work through their differences. And it's also a really good time to get to know more about the kids and their family situations, which are very confusing with all the steps and exes and half-brothers and stepsisters. I have never seen a maze of families like that before. I mean, you pick one kid up at one house one week, and the next week they're living with their dad, who happens to have kids that also go to Kids Club. So it can be really, really exciting. Challenging. And so, yeah, we mostly just talk about how God is working in the lives of the kids and what we can do better to help them. Then we have a prayer time and just give all of our problems to God, asking for wisdom and insight to know what to do with these new situations we face. So we always have so much to thank God for as we reflect on the evening. It's so awesome to sit back and see how the Holy Spirit worked throughout the evening. It's one of the most precious things about working with the kids, seeing God's heart for them and how he works on their behalf, caring for them in their troubled lives. So we often end with a few songs praising God for his faithfulness and how he guided us through another evening. I faced some challenging situations with kids whom I used to call problem children, but I've learned to call them opportunity children thanks to all the encouragement I've gotten in hash time. So we are really blessed to have a wonderful committee and as well as lots of great staff at Kids Church who, yeah, it's a really good place to grow and practice living out our faith, and we're really grateful to God for his work at Kids Church.
All right, hopefully you guys have an idea of what the evening's like, and now you can put some images to them. And I'll try to go fairly quickly, but ta-da. Okay, awesome. All right, RISE is the name of our church, which we just came up with, and this is the logo, kind of. All right, it starts out with the kids arriving, and they come in different loads, so they come at different times, but we try to be back at the church by 7 to get started. So there's little hangout time beforehand. Each route gets a certain color of wristbands that they wear with their name on it. And it helps us learn their names, but also it's very useful for discipline. We have the strike system, like Christy was talking about a little earlier, and we don't actually hit them, but it's just a little mark on their wristband with a Sharpie that says they disobeyed. And the first mark is just a warning. The second strike, like Christy said, means you don't get snack. And then the third strike means that you have to be taken home before the evening is ended. So that helps a lot. Like, it's good incentive for the kids to behave. So just a lot of fun times with the kids, getting ready as they arrive and greeting them and getting ready to start the evening. So then we go into the chapel and get ready to start with main lesson, wait for everyone to arrive, and then Benji opens up much like you saw tonight, with a what-what and a woot-woot, and gets the kids excited about the evening, and then we have singing, and Jared and Winston and Andrew all do a really good job of leading that, and get pretty active sometimes. But the kids love it, and it's so adorable to see these little kids, like, memorizing songs and doing the motions, and sometimes when I'm dropping my kids off in the evening, then, like, I'll have, like, a four-year-old who's walking up the sidewalk singing, joy, joy, joy. And then she's like, J is for Jesus. So sweet. So that's a highlight. And then David takes over and has main lesson, and kids are very excited to give the answers, even if they don't know them. And this is Alex. Alex Garcia, he started coming in the very beginning as one of the kids, but he is now staff. And so he helps us out. I don't know, does he help with music? Or, yeah, sometimes. He's very talented, and he got baptized not too long ago. And he's very dedicated to Christ. Anyway, and then we dismiss for Kids Club Junior and Seg Time. And this is the boys' Seg Time. And this is one-on-one time with Crystal. And then these are a couple pictures of Kids Club Junior. And then after that, it's games. This guy's playing basketball, having fun with Seth, and working their differences out on the slide, and working their differences out in the cafeteria. And these are some of the girls helping with snack, coming in for snack from games. And this is getting everyone to be quiet before prayer. Everyone has to hold up their fingers and thanking the person who brought snack. He's clapping here. And very happy. And then this is when we're praying and everyone's quiet, closing their eyes and thanking God for the food. And then they get snack. And then there's about, like, I don't know, it varies from evening to evening, but they have a little time to eat snack, and then there's a little bit of hangout time just as people are finishing eating and before we're getting ready to go home. So we're usually all in the cafeteria together and having a good time, wrapping things up and getting your routes together to go back home. Oh, yeah. Okay, and then this is a section of photos on our Christmas program that we just had. And it was really cool. We invited all the parents, and the parents came, and the kids put on a program for them. They sang some songs and acted out the Christmas story. And these are just a couple of pictures of that. It was really fun. The kids were so proud to bring their parents. The parents were so proud of the kids. And it was just a really cool opportunity to thank the parents for trusting us and for allowing their kids to come. And the kids could show off a little too on stage in front of their parents. And these are some gift baskets that were put together for each family. And there's, like, a bunch of baked goods and some fruit in there. And then each route driver wrote a card for each family on their route so they could have a little Christmas present. And this, it's not all happy times. Sometimes there's issues to solve and problems to work through. But thanks to James, they're getting it done. Okay, this is the Christmas story, Mary and Joseph and the donkey going to Bethlehem. The angels coming to the shepherds. Then the shepherds going to the manger. It was so adorable to see them. These are the wise men. But they did so well, and it was a little chaotic sometimes, but it was just adorable seeing them up there telling their parents about the birth of Jesus. It's really cool. It's this song again. And then Benji kind of shared with the parents the vision of Kids Club and kind of encouraged them to pull in the same direction with us in leading kids to God, and laid out the plan of salvation and kind of told them the Christmas story as if Christ would come to Hutchinson and how it would be, and made the gospel very simple and very easy to get a hold of, and thanked the parents for letting their kids come here. And then the Bylers had a beautiful snack afterwards, and the girls and Larry and Violet were there too, helping and put on a really pretty snack for the parents and the kids and all of us. And then Paul was there too, and he had a few comments and prayed for us. And it was cool because some of the parents know him through Hands of Christ. Just having a good time. The kids are very happy that night. That was really cool. I think that's the end. I'm just going to read a couple verses really quickly. And this is kind of part of the vision and has to do with our name. And think about this as the kids, as it's from Isaiah 60. But think about it as referring to the kids and how hopefully they're going to rise up above their circumstances, and the glory of God is going to show in their lives, and they will lead the people around them to Christ one day. So Isaiah 60, verse 1 starts out, "Rise up and shine, for your light has come. The shining greatness of the Lord has risen upon you. For see, darkness will cover the earth. Much darkness will cover the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his shining greatness will be seen upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings will see the shining greatness of the Lord on you."
Well, thank you all for coming. I have a few comments before we close, but I just really appreciate everybody coming this evening. I also wanted to mention that we do some things outside of the Tuesday evenings. The boys have had a camping trip that some of his guys' staff put on. The Heidi organized a group, or sorry, Angela, I believe, organized a group to go to an evening of celebrating purity, and in fact, through that evening, there were seven of the kids, the older kids, who gave their hearts to Christ and promised to strive for purity in their lives, which is a big deal. And then we've also just some of the staff have picked up kids after school if they're struggling with something, and just gone and done things with them and talked with them. And so we realize that there's things that can be done outside of Tuesday evenings that can really make positive impact on the kids. So to close, I'd like to tell you a story that kind of illustrates our continuing needs. And we try to take our cause pretty seriously because we believe we're doing something important, but try not to take ourselves too seriously. We just realize that we're still learning and we're still trying to figure this out. And I want to tell you just a brief story about a boy named Isaac. Now, most of you, or some of you, might know who Isaac was. When Matt Nisley did Big Brothers and Big Sisters, he developed a relationship with a boy named Isaac and did stuff with him for a while. And then even after he wasn't officially a part of the program, I think Marvin's had him over for dinner sometimes and did some things with him as a family. And he was also one of our first Kids Club kids. And now, I don't know, I haven't kept close to touch with him recently, and so I don't know all the details, so forgive me if I leave some things out. But it was clear to me from the beginning that Isaac was an exceptional young man. He was very thoughtful and very honest about what was going on inside of him, and just had a lot of potential. One of the things that he really struggled with was being angry towards his father, and this is something that is just a huge issue. And this is probably like the biggest issue, the biggest poverty that these kids deal with is this fatherless crisis. And Isaac was no different. So his dad was deported to Mexico, as I understand it. And he just felt abandonment and anger towards his dad. And he tried. He didn't want to be angry, so he prayed. And Arlen Mast was doing one-on-one with him at the time. And he encouraged him to forgive and to let go. And he got to read some of the letters that his dad had sent his mom from Mexico after they had been separated. And through all of those things, he was able to release and to forgive. And he would ask during seg time, when we would get together and talk about issues, he would ask good questions like, what actually happens when you pray? How does that work? And what goes on in the spiritual realm? And so he was clearly had a lot of potential, and he was an extraordinary young man. He would help younger kids understand concepts that they weren't quite getting. So I was really happy about that. But one night, I remember taking him home after Kids Club, and I was taking him to a friend's house because they were having a party that evening, and we started talking. We started talking about his dad and how he was struggling with that. And then he said, I'm not sure whether to be a Catholic or a Christian. And in Latin culture, those two are pretty distinct religions. And so he said, my mom's a Christian, but my dad's a Catholic, and I'm not sure which I want to be. And he said his older brother is so bitter towards his dad. He doesn't want anything to do with Catholicism, so he's become a Christian. And so it seems like a good reason, right? And so he was kind of facing this identity crisis, and it had a lot to do with his father, his pain regarding his father, and was just asking a lot of good questions. And he said that he thinks he wants to be a Catholic because he wants his dad to be proud of him. So I dropped him off at his friend's house, and again, I just was struck by his thoughtfulness and his potential. But that was one of the last times that he came to Kids Church. And he was, I believe he is, can somebody tell me how old he is right now? Does anybody know? Is it 14? So you may have been 13 or 14 at the time. And most of the stuff that we do is kind of geared towards younger kids. And I think that he might have just gotten bored with Kids Church. And I wonder if maybe we didn't, you know, we say that we want to lead kids towards spiritual maturity, but I'm not sure if we really did a good job with Isaac. And I think that we may have let him go a little early. And I don't think it's the end of his story, and there's still good people in his life. And I hope that he can continue to mature and grow into spiritual maturity. But I guess I tell that story to illustrate that we don't know how to do everything all the time, and we're not doing everything right. But also, I think it kind of gets at some of the core things that we need right now. And one of those is just more good staff. We want people who are capable of leading kids to spiritual maturity. So we'd love to have young couples help us. And we realized recently that we need to do more to reach the older kids, that they don't just age out and then we never see them again. So as they enter their teens, and we've talked about it as a group, and we're actually starting kind of a teens ministry now to meet that need. On staff, we have quite a few older girls than we do older guys. And if there's any of you ladies who have a heart to disciple girls who are getting into their teens, we would love to talk to you about being staff. But if you aren't interested in being staff, there's a couple other things that opportunities to get involved with people's lives through RISE. And one of them is something we're pretty excited about. We're just starting a mentoring program. And it's very similar to Big Brothers and Big Sisters. We just think that if we're already involved in the kids' lives, if we could match up people that we're already involved in, that maybe that we can, we can build on each other's efforts. And so if you're interested in doing something with a kid several times a month, twice a month, we'd love to talk to you about doing that. The other thing that the idea that we've talked about is we'd love to get now Angela and Emily both talked about women who are trying to parent sort of by themselves and are having a hard go of it. Like, it's really frustrating. and particularly they haven't been given very good examples. And we realize that we're probably an average of about 20 years old, and haven't had a lot of parenting experience. sure that comes as a surprise to you, but we like to pretend like we know a lot about kids and parenting, but we don't really. And so we would just, you know, it'd be great if you're interested in getting people involved in people's lives, like some of the stories we talked about tonight. You know, we would love to see you having them out for dinner, or helping them fix their sink, or just talking about life with them and building a relationship. So if you're a family that would like to be involved, we'd love to introduce you to some of our families and build relationships in that way. And again, there's fathers who know how to father. And like I said, there's huge poverty of fathers. And if we could get some of you to be involved and to be fathers to boys like Isaac, who are struggling to figure out who they are, and, you know, am I this or am I that, and what kind of church do I go to, and I really want to make my dad proud, but I don't know if it's right. And so we have this poverty of fathers, and we'd love to, if any of you are interested, to get you involved with some of that. Another thing, we'd love to have you visit sometime if you would like to come to Rise some evening, but not all at once. So if you could contact me, I'd love to have you come and visit and see what's going on. If you would like, our ladies would appreciate occasionally having somebody bring snack. That's not necessary at all, but you can talk to our culinary administrator, Alicia Weiler, about that if you're interested in helping that way. But we'd love to just have you visit anyway, even if that doesn't work out. But more than anything, we want your prayers. We're attempting the impossible. If we were just doing this, like with sociology or psychology, it would be completely impossible. And here's why. We have about 3 hours a week with the kids. And for the rest of the time, they get to be with parents who are struggling with substance abuse, perhaps, or with kids who are experimenting with all sorts of things, with drugs and with their bodies and all sorts of things. They get to go to school where, they're maybe not given the best influences. So they get, you know, who knows, 77 hours with all of that, and we get 3. And so unless God moves, we have nothing. We have no chance. And if it's just us trying to modify their behavior or whatever, we don't have a chance. We're trying to do the impossible without God. And so, just above all, we want prayer, and we want y'all to ask God to move on behalf of us, but especially on behalf of these children, that He cares about a lot. So we really, really covet your prayers. I would like to open it for questions now, and then close. What questions do you have? How old's the oldest girl? Okay, the oldest is probably 15, and the youngest, 3. So we have a quite a range, and like I said, we're kind of grappling right now with making it something that is challenging to people like Isaac, you know, and is also wholesome and nurturing for the younger kids. Paul. Well, this is kind of new ground for us. We just, as of a couple of weeks ago, we decided we wanted to do something that's focused for teens, like Bible study and serious worship and some of those things. And like Heidi mentioned, one of our kids, Alex, is now staff, and we feel really good about that and getting them plugged into ministry that way. That is a very good question. We have not done any baptisms ourselves. I believe, and all of us staff believe, that a commitment to Christ should be followed by baptism. And we've talked about it, but we haven't. We don't have policy about it at this point. We would like to lead them into spiritual maturity, and we would like to see them get baptized at some point. We don't know how that's going to work for us at this point. Good. Any other questions? Good. Well, thank you again for all coming. I just am amazed that people from all through the community came and supported us. And like I said, we'd love to talk to you if you're interested in becoming involved with some of these people and so on. But just above all, just please pray for us, because we do need your prayers. We're trying the impossible to try to lead kids to spiritual maturity. So thank you. Let's all rise for a closing prayer. Paul, sorry, just any announcements? Paul first, and then anybody else. No problem. Go ahead. Dear Father, I just thank you so much for your greatness and your goodness to us, and I just pray that you would help all of us to honor and glorify you with everything that we do, and that we as a people would make your name great in Hutchinson and in our communities, and that people would be in awe of you because of our lives. And so I just pray that you would show us how that works and how that is for each of us as we respond to you. Bless us as we go home to our families this evening, and give us a good night. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.